Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury. And he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, I truly tell you, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered all she had to live on. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I was planning to preach this morning on the difference in the food in the first reading, but because of the food poisoning, I will totally shift. Let's turn to this poor widow. Jesus had been teaching in the temple area, and now in this 19th chapter, he was going to turn to illustrations of what he was teaching. And so he was people watching along with the apostles, and they were close to the trumpet or the tuba in the temple area. And what was that? It kind of looked a little bit like one of those instruments with a huge funnel up at the top that would wrap around and get thinner as it would come into a locked box where all the money, which was all metal at the time, would descend. So they would see a whole bunch of people putting in huge sums, and it would make a lot of noise as it would come on down. Then this woman came, and St. Luke tells us she put in two lepta, which was the tiniest of the Greek coins. Each lepta was worth 1/3 of a penny today. This woman had 2/3 of a penny to survive. It would have been fine if she had kept, we could say, her 2 lepta. Wasn't going to get her very far. Would have been totally praiseworthy if she had put 1 of the 2 lepta into that trumpet. She would have given 50% of what she had. But instead, she gave everything she had, and she had very little, because she was giving everything over to God. And Jesus didn't praise any of the relative rich people who had put in much larger sums because they still had so much left over. Jesus was pointing out that generosity is not so much how you give, but how much you try to grasp onto. And this woman, for her contribution, has never been forgotten. During this year of consecrated life, it's important that the whole church ponder the type of sacrifice you have made through the vow of poverty. You haven't just put in a little, you've put in all that you had to live on. You've given everything over to Christ as your treasure. And the same Lord who praised her will praise you. To give everything we have to God, it's really the only worthy response to Him who has given us everything. As I probably preached during Lent, I can't remember. My favorite hymn in the English language is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And that last verse is what's always captivated me. The first several verses are beautiful meditation, but it's that last one which takes the theology and makes it moral. Were the whole realm of nature mine, 'twere an offering far too small, for love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Demands it. It's the only worthy response. We can't give a portion of ourselves to Him who gives everything. As one of my old spiritual directors used to say, Father Ron Gillis, that the Christian life is like a game of high stakes poker. Jesus is all in, and even though we have far fewer chips to be able to put on the table, the only way we're able to stay in the hand is if we meet him and go all in. That is the Christian life. Today, we have four quick illustrations of being all in. First, we have the beautiful first reading with Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They themselves, even though in captivity they were going to be exalted above all their fellow Jews, even though they were going to be exalted far above almost everybody else in King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, they were going to serve the Lord first. They were going to serve the Lord by how they ate. They were going to serve the Lord by their fidelity, even when Nebuchadnezzar would be threatening to kill them, as we'll see later in the book of Daniel. But they were all in for the Lord with fidelity. Today we celebrate the 1400th anniversary of the death of the great evangelizing Irish monk, St. Columban. At a very early age in life, he entered a monastery because he wanted to give his entire life over to the Lord. He studied under some great masters. He learned the faith, but he didn't want to keep it straight for himself. He knew that so many others precisely needed the Lord. And after basically France and other parts of Northern Europe had been evangelized but lost the faith during the barbarian times, he wanted to leave his monastery because of his zeal for the Lord, to go out and re-evangelize. That's precisely what he did. He said that he was going with his fellow Irish monks on a peregrinatio pro Christo, on a journey, a pilgrimage for Christ, to be able to bring people back. And the way that he brought people back was not the same way St. Francis Xavier would, constantly going from town to town. He would go to a place, he'd renew some type of building that he would turn into his monastery. They'd start singing, they'd start planting, they'd do the things that monks would do, and then invite everybody else to come, to share the fruits of what they had grown, to share the fruits of the seeds that the Lord had planted within them, that they were bearing abundantly. And slowly, in every area that they went, they seeded monasteries, which helped in the re-evangelization of places that had lost the faith. Pope Benedict gave a beautiful catechesis on St. Columban in which he talked about his giving everything over to the Lord and how he wanted to train his monks and then the Christian people to do the same. And last month, Cardinal Parolin for Pope Francis wrote a letter to the Columban fathers precisely for this 1400th anniversary, in which he was encouraging them to continue to give to the Lord by the same level. Today, on his 1400th anniversary, it's an important time for us, inspired by him, to do so. Today we also celebrate Pope St. Clement, the fourth pope, the third successor of St. Peter, who heard the gospel as a young slave in the family of Flavia Clemens, from Peter and Paul themselves. And he heard it, and he responded with all that he had. During the persecution of Domitian, he remained faithful and helped the entire church remain faithful because they weren't afraid of giving all to the Lord. Pope Clement is most famous for his letter to the Corinthians. He began the letter by saying, "Sorry, it's taken me a little time to write." Basically, we were being terribly persecuted here in Rome, but now, thanks be to God, that persecution's over, and so let's talk about your level of self-giving. So the Corinthians, as you know from even St. Paul's letters, the Corinthians were a very, very wealthy place because it's a tiny little isthmus between north and south in Greece, between east and west. Everybody had to cross through Corinth. It was a massive trade center for that reason, and it became extraordinarily wealthy. But they weren't really giving everything over to the Lord. They were living too sumptuously. They were living too much a life according to the flesh. And one of the things that they didn't like is they had a couple young priests come by to serve the community there, and they were a little too strong. They were asking too much of the Corinthians in terms of the service of the Lord. And so the Corinthians deposed the priests. They said, "We don't like what you're preaching." And so Pope St. Clement had to write and say, "No, you cannot do that." They were challenging for the Lord. And Pope St. Clement, the first real exercise of the papacy outside of Rome, Pope St. Clement said, "You have to give. You have to respond to the Lord in this way." It's a really beautiful letter that used to be read in the churches. Prior to the 4th century, a lot of the great letters in the post-apostolic age were treated the way we treat the epistles of St. Paul. In St. Clement's words, help the first Christians to give to that level. And the last example that we have today is St. Miguel, Blessed Miguel Pro. I'm always canonizing him because he deserves, I think, to be canonized, but I guess we need to invoke the miracle today to cure you of all food poisoning. But Miguel was a Jesuit who, in Mexico, took on various disguises during the terrible Mexican Civil War in order to bring Jesus to people, in order to anoint them, in order to celebrate Mass for them, in order to hear their confessions. He would ride his bicycle all across the city in order to be able to find people and be able to serve them. And the reason why he was capable of doing this, after he had been outed as a priest and after a contract had been put on his head, was because he was all in for the Lord, including if he should need to shed his blood. After he'd been identified and after they were hunting him down, he was able to maneuver and survive for a year until he was caught. That day he was caught, he was going to be executed. And Plutarco Calles, the dictator there, wanted to make an example of him so that other priests would stop doing what they were doing and opposing his will. And so he had everybody assemble, but it didn't quite work the way that he thought it would. Miguel Pro, before he was going to be assassinated by the firing squad, was asked if he had any last requests. And he said, "I would like 2 minutes, please, to pray." So they gave it to him. He turned to the Lord and he said, "Please know, Lord, that I forgive my enemies with all my heart." Then he said to those who were about to kill him, "May God have mercy on you. May God bless you." And then, in the eternal echo of yesterday's feast, he just said, "Viva Cristo Rey," long live Christ the King. He was shot. The photos of his execution were used by Plutarco Calles. His intention was to scare everybody away by showing what would happen to these renegade priests. But instead, it really became the image that emboldened them. And the next day, they came and they got his body, 10,000 Mexicans. And they were going to take him to Dolores Cemetery to bury him reverently. But they said, "Let's go by Plutarco Calles' house." And so the whole cortege carrying Blessed Miguel Pro went straight by the mansion of the dictator. And while they were there, just shouted, "Viva Cristo Rey." He was all in, as was Pope St. Clement, as was St. Columban, as was this widow with her two lepta, giving her whole livelihood over to the Lord. We thank the Lord for the grace that he has given us so that we recognize that giving to the Lord everything we have in response to everything he has given us is really the only way to live.